Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you join us here, and you can give us a call. Our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here with your phone call. And let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We thank you for making it possible. Thank you for opportunity to be able to be a blessing and encouragement to people. Help us to point people to Christ, to the things that we talk about tonight. Father, we just pray that you would bless, Lord, encourage us now as we look into your word together. And I just pray that again, that you would just use this program for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be with you again tonight, and well, we're trying again tonight. We've been slowly working our way into the 21st century. I think it was about 2 years or so ago now, I guess, we launched Facebook. We've had our website, I think, for quite some time, and of course, a reminder there, you can look us up at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and we're available on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al as well, and you can certainly find us there. I also wanted to mention that last week we tried for the first time something completely new. We tried using Periscope, which is another social media app, but it works through your smartphone. And so we're working with that right now, and we are on live on Periscope right now, and I can certainly see we've got somebody joining us there on Periscope, so welcome. And I don't know all the details, but if you have a smartphone, it's a free app, you can get it signed up through a Twitter account or something. So we actually established a Twitter account, and not sure exactly what all I'm going to do with the Twitter account just yet, but establish that so that we could get onto the Periscope app, and that's available so you can watch us on Periscope. And then one of the things that we're working at, something we realized this past week, all technology has its challenges, has its learning curves and all of those sorts of things, but we learned this past week that while I'm on the air talking, that's fine on Periscope, but when we get a caller on our Friday program this past Friday, had a caller and she had a rather long question and some background information to set the stage for the question. And as a consequence, there was several minutes of me just sort of listening to the caller and flipping through some Bible pages without talking. And that brought home the fact that we got to figure out some way that we can get the audio from callers into the cell phone in order to join with what I'm saying when we're on Periscope. So bear with us. That's something that we've just started. We're trying to work on it, see what happens, and hopefully we'll go from there. And the other thing, obviously, that we need to do is try and figure out a way to keep the telephone from falling over while we're using it. So always a challenge there, but and to not be too distracted while I'm trying to do some other things. But of course, you can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Something that I want to touch on that I was reading about this past week and didn't have a chance to talk about it last week or on our Friday program. And again, just point out, if you're in an area where you only hear our Sunday night program, we have a Friday afternoon program, 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and you can find those programs as well as our Sunday night programs available as MP3 files on our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And those are available there. And some other information, of course, about us, about the church that I pastor, Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and also about the radio program, different things. So I encourage you to go to livewithpastoral.com. Well, again, I saw in the news here just recently something that caught my eye, and that is that we see an alignment taking place over in Russia, Turkey, and Iran. And what's interesting with this is that there are several things in the Bible, and in particular in Ezekiel chapter 38, that make it pretty clear that Russia, Turkey, and Iran are going to be aligned at some point. So whenever we see things like this happening, now this is not something that we say this is the start of the fulfillment of the Ezekiel 38 prophecy. No, but what we see are things that line up with what the Bible says. And so as a consequence, you know, it's worth noting them. It's worth looking at them. And we see this because it's rather interesting, because I've talked about this in the past, about how we're going to one day see an alignment between Russia, Turkey, and Iran, but that alignment was kind of strained, or at least the potential for that alignment recently, because the Turks had shot down one of the Russian jet fighters. Russia was bombing ISIS, the Islamic State, there in the Middle East, and they were trying to protect Syria. And what's interesting is the tension that resulted from this downing by the Turks of a Russian jet seemed to be driving a wedge between the two countries. But then what we've seen happening here just recently, there was a joining together here. In fact, there was a recent telephone conversation between the Iranian President Hassan Rouhani on this past Tuesday, I believe it was, and he was talking with the Turkish President Erdogan, and they were expressing their willingness to cooperate closely with Iran and Russia to, quote, settle regional crisis and restore peace and stability to the region. And, of course, you know, the Iranians are certainly enemies of Israel. And when we see these things lining up, let me just go through a little bit here in Ezekiel chapter 38. In Ezekiel chapter 38, verse number 1, the Bible starts here saying, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal." Now let me pause there for a minute. The sentence continues. I'm going to pause for just a minute there. The land of Gog and the land of Magog, we get some ideas here. The chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And Tubal is a name that's come down to us in several cities. There's Tobolsk and also the capital of the Central Asian Republic of Georgia. What's the name there? I'm trying to think of it now. Tbilisi, I think it is derived from Tubal. And Meshech gives us the name of the city Moscow, and that's that's derived from Meshech. And then what's interesting is the word Gog is a word that comes that gives us the word Rosh, which is the basis of Russia there. And so then we've also got some other indications that Magog could refer to some of the Slavic peoples. But basically what we have between the idea of Gog, Magog, Meshech, and Tubal is we've got the general region of Russia, Armenia, Georgia, parts of Kazakhstan, places like that in Central Europe, right, or Central Russian, Central Asia area there. And there's some other areas in that. But I'll touch on some more of those here in just a minute. But after identifying these areas here, the Bible continues on here talking about these here. And we see here that he says, I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now the sentence still continues on into verse number 5 here. And it says, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. And the sentence continues on into the next verse, but Persia here is obviously modern-day Iran. And in fact, up until I think it was about the 1930s or so, most maps listed Iran as Persia. And then when they began making the change over to using the word Iran, I think about 1935 or so is when they began changing things. They often would list Iran on the map. It would say Iran, and then underneath it in parentheses, it would say Persia, and so that people would know what they were talking about there. And so we have here, and of course, the other two that are mentioned there, Ethiopia and Libya, are interesting as well, because Ethiopia would have been the area south of pretty much south of Egypt on the northeast coast of Africa. And that would be basically today it would be places like the Sudan and Kenya, Somalia, Djibouti, Eritrea, places like that. Ethiopia itself is just a small country with that group of countries. And that was basically the country that was south of the upper cataracts of the Nile River. If you think about where the Aswan Dam is located on the Nile River today, and basically the area south of that, in fact, on some ancient maps were actually pictured and labeled as Ethiopia, that whole area there. And then Libya is also a much larger area on the maps back then than what it is today. It essentially was much of the area which would have been to the west of Egypt. And so that would have occurred, would have included most of North Africa in addition to the country of Libya. That would have probably included places such as Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, places like that in addition to Libya. In fact, Ptolemy's map from Ptolemy's map? I'm trying to think when Ptolemy produced a map of that part of Africa in about the second or third century, somewhere back then. He actually included in the area of Libya on his map what would be the modern day countries of Chad and Niger and Mali and Mauritania, places like that, some of the sub-Saharan countries. So that's a pretty broad area there. But again, what I'm looking at is we see this joining together with Russia and Turkey. And of course, that's the next one that we've got to see here, along with Persia, which would be Iran. And then, of course, getting back to Ezekiel chapter 38, and we have here in verse number 6, after talking about Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, it says in verse 6, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. And so that's a large group of people that's right there as well. And this group here, when you look at Gomer and Togarmah, this is an area here in all his bands, which Gomer was a large group of people who initially settled in the area of Turkey, and his descendants spread northwest. They colonized some areas in Central and Eastern Europe, spread up into Europe, reaching parts of well, certainly Germany today, and some of their descendants spread a little further into other parts of Europe. But so we could see that Gomer's descendants seem to indicate Germany and the Baltic countries, as well as Turkey. And then, of course, to Garma, according to Genesis chapter 10, in the table of nations there, in Genesis chapter 10, in verse number 3, the Bible says that Gomer is, or I'm sorry, that Togarmah is a son of Gomer. And while most of Gomer's descendants tended to migrate up into Europe, Togarmah and his descendants, represented today primarily by the Turks and the Armenians, tended to stay pretty much in that area around the Black Sea, which would show that Togarmah today would be represented probably best by the countries of Turkey and Armenia. And so there we see that them linked together here in this passage in Ezekiel chapter 38 in the first six verses there. And let me tack in with Germany there for just a minute, because if we can see this type of an alliance developing in the Middle East, and we've seen evidences of it in the past, coming together for a short time and then disappearing, but we know that one day it will come together into a solid alliance whereby Russia will use that as an attempt to invade Israel, and that's what Ezekiel 38 goes on to talk about. But what about this deal with Germany? Because Germany's a NATO country. Germany's a part of Europe, specifically Western Europe. But you have to remember, during the Cold War days, after World War II, before the breakup of the Soviet Union, Germany was a divided country. A lot of people today don't remember that Germany was a divided country. East Germany was allied with the Russians. West Germany, of course, allied with the with NATO and with the United States and Britain and all of that. But we do see some things happening today because of some of the economic pressures within Europe, Germany being one of the strongest economies in Europe, and with the recent departure of Great Britain from the European Union, their vote, the Brexit vote, a month or so ago, we're seeing the talk in Germany that they may be realizing that their economic future actually would be more advantageous for them to cut some of their ties with Western Europe and begin aligning themselves more closely with Russia. And they feel that they may have a greater economic future by looking more towards Eastern Europe. And it's part of it is because Russia is supplying so much natural gas into Germany, the bulk of their natural gas, and they're even right now working to build a second major pipeline into Germany to bring more Russian gas. Natural gas in and supplying not only Germany's needs, but also helping Russia to be able to sell that natural gas in other markets. So Russia and Germany seem to be going more towards each other as well. And so when we read Ezekiel's prophecy and we see this, now we don't know exactly when it's going to take place, and I'm not saying that it's taking place before our eyes like some people might be tempted to say, but what I am saying is it is interesting when we see these groups linking up in the same fashion that they are in the Bible. And we'll touch on a few more things with this here in a minute, but just a reminder that if you have a call, a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, whether it's about what we're talking about now or something completely different, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here this evening. We'll be on until midnight. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. And is going to continue here talking about this idea of what's happening in Bible prophecy. We've talked in the past about Psalm 83 identifying another series of countries and things. And it's interesting because this group of countries, some of them, in fact, the majority of them are not mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38. As we talk in Ezekiel chapter 38, we've talked about Persian, Ethiopian, Libya, but do you know what was missing there? It was Egypt. Egypt is not in Ezekiel 38. It's not forgotten. It's not left out. It's because there's other Bible prophecies that appear to indicate that Egypt will be destroyed prior to the Ezekiel 38 battle, invasion of Israel. And there's some other areas there too. Babylon, which would probably be best represented right now by the Islamic State parts of Iraq, as well as Syria, Lebanon, and what would be Jordan today, are all occupied in Ezekiel's day, in Jeremiah's day, in Isaiah's day, with peoples that were settled in those areas that give us the countries of Egypt and the Gaza Strip. That would have been where the Philistines were, the nations of Lebanon and Syria and modern-day Jordan and Islamic State, as well as Iraq. And there's various places where these areas are destroyed. And coincidentally enough, it's not a coincidence actually, it's by God's design, these areas are not mentioned in Ezekiel 38. They're not a part of this invasion, and they're not part of the group that sits back and lodges a complaint against it. And that's probably because there's other things that'll be happening with regards to them. Well, we'll touch on some more of those things and encourage you to go online to our website, livewithpastoral.com. There's a link there to a book that I wrote a few years ago, probably about 3 years ago now, I think, called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War. And you can find that link there on our website. It's an ebook, and so I encourage you to take a look at that. And let's see, we've got some phone calls calling in here this evening. And let me get around where I can see the board here. We've got Linda calling in here tonight. And Linda, welcome to the program this evening.
Well, thank you.
Hello, Linda. Welcome to the program here tonight.
Oh, yes, and thank you. What I was calling about, I've been studying Ezekiel 38 and 39 all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, well, read like different authors that Russia is directly north of Israel. But the last I read, it's Turkey. And I just wondered what you think about that. Turkey was the country it's talking about.
Well, Turkey, I think, is represented by Gomer and Togarma, in particular Togarma. They were the country there, Turkey, and that's north of obviously north of Israel. But further north, you have Russia. And when you look at in Ezekiel chapter 38, the word Meshech, well, Meshech very directly gives us the name of the city of Moscow, which of course is the capital of Russia. And and so you can see also Tubal represented, as I said earlier, with a number of the areas, everything from Georgia on up into the Tobolsk River and things like that in Russia. So we have people that migrated there from the area of up north of Israel in Turkey and Armenia and all of that. And so, yeah, I believe that Russia and Turkey both are involved here. And I think I missed, because of the connection here, a little bit of the first part of your question there. But did I touch on what you were saying?
Yeah. Really, all the authors ever talked about was Russia. But
yeah.
I think that now they're beginning to see it's Turkey.
Well, like I said, I think it's both, because Turkey is mentioned there and Russia is mentioned there. Because Meshech and Moscow, Tubal, Tobolsk, and places like that, Gog, derives to Rosh, which gives us Russia. And so it's very clear that they're both involved, I think. So, yeah, I know some people disagree with that, but When you look at Ethiopia and Libya, it's more than just the little country of Ethiopia today, and it's more than just the country of Libya today. It's a much wider area, and I think this also reflects the geopolitics that we're seeing shaping up today, talking about with the alliance of Russia and Turkey and Iran, and then, of course, Germany tending to ally itself more closely, starting to with Russia. So, but like I said, these are things that we look at. We try to evaluate what's happening in the world with what the scripture says. We don't know that we're going to see the Ezekiel 38 prophecy unfold in the next year or two. We don't know that. It may or it may not, but we do know something, that it is going to happen eventually. And, I think that it's good to be watching. It's good to be trying to see how Bible prophecy unfolds before us. And oftentimes, it's really not until it happens that we look at it and we can say, wow, right there it is. How come I didn't see that before? We see these prophecies, and prophecies in the Word of God authenticate the Bible so that we can have, reason to believe it, believe it to be reliable. It's the only book that everything that it's prophesied has come true 100% correct. Now, the only exception would be the things that haven't yet taken place yet, because we haven't gotten to those times. But all other books of prophecy and other religions and people who claim to be psychics and things like that, their track record is abysmally bad. And they only get a few things correct at a time. But as a consequence, when we look at the Bible, everything that it's prophesied to take place has come together 100%. In fact, God said in Deuteronomy that one of the keys to a true prophet of God is that he's 100% correct. If he misses it just one time, you're not to pay any attention to him. Hey, I want to thank you for the call tonight, Linda. We're coming up on our break, and I'll have to let you go now. We just got about 5 seconds before the break. If you're on hold, stay tuned, and we'll be back in another few minutes.
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. Got a couple of people already lined up, but if you want to give us a call, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And just a reminder, of course, we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. There'll be more information about that at the end of the program. You can also find out more information by going to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can check us out there. Check us out on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. And we're also on Periscope. And I'm not sure how to tell you how to find us on Periscope, but it's there. And we're still trying to learn how to do it, trying to learn how to put the phone here someplace where it works. But if you have a smartphone, you can download the Periscope app and for free. And you can give us a try on Periscope, livewithpastoral.com. Or Live with Pastor Al. Also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza and Garfieldites. If you're in the Cleveland area, you can check out East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Pastor Al or Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. And if you're out of the area, perhaps you'd like to start your own pizza business, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. All right, well, we're going to get back to our program here. And I'm going to try and do several things at one time, getting the camera straight. And every time I get it straight up there for the phone, it wants to curve and tilt and go down. So bear with me just a minute as I try to get this in a position where it'll hold there. All right. Apologize if you're watching on Periscope, bouncing you all around the place here tonight. All right. That's one more thing to try and learn how to handle here. Our phone number, 888-677-9673. And we have got Trevor calling in this evening. Trevor, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi. My question is, why do most Christians not rely on Jewish and rabbinical sources for interpreting the Psalms and the Old Testament? Any reason for that?
Yeah, actually, that is a very good question. And I would add that I would say that we actually do rely upon some very important Jewish and rabbinical sources, because the Apostle Paul, in addition to being Jewish, was a rabbi. And so his writings are Jewish sources and rabbinical writings. Peter, also one of the apostles, who was Jewish, we rely on his. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, he has something that addresses exactly what you said. He addresses some psalms in particular, talking about David and Jesus the Messiah in Acts chapter 2. So I know that that's there. We have that Jewish and even rabbinical writings dealing with the Psalms and with other parts of the Old Testament. But I imagine your question probably deals more with Jewish and rabbinical writings since that time, right?
I just stumbled on this stuff myself because of computer and YouTube and things like that, and I started probably some years ago, some Jewish scriptures, unless you went to some kind of a Jewish bookstore, you wouldn't be able to find that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you're right. But
I'm talking about their scriptures. I mean, the Tanakh and
you're talking about writings other than the New Testament writings, which, as I point out, much of that was pretty much written by Jewish writers, and in many cases, like especially with Paul, rabbinical writings in that sense. But here's the big thing, and I used to wonder about that myself, because one thing that the Jewish people have is a wealth of understanding of tradition. As a Christian coming from a Gentile background, I don't have a grounding like a Jewish person would typically in, say, the Levitical feasts, and from the book of Leviticus, what is it? I think chapter 23, where it talks about the seven Levitical feasts. And some of the tradition and things that they have there, especially when you read the writings of some people who, I'm trying to think of a name of a ministry down in Tennessee. There's a Jewish ministry, Jewish Awareness Ministries or something like that. And it was started by a guy who, I believe, when he got saved, he had been a rabbi. And so he used the wealth of his knowledge as a Jewish rabbi in helping people who did not have that background understand some of the things dealing with some of the feasts and the various traditions and things that you find in the Old Testament. But one of the things that I used to wonder about and think is, do they have, in a sense, special knowledge or insight that we don't have? And I think they do, from their history, from their tradition. They have some knowledge and some understanding of that in the secular sense. But one of the keys, though, you can read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, is that until somebody puts their faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior, and then has the Holy Spirit in them, it's going to be hard to really fully understand all of the things of the Old Testament. You can understand, the details, you can understand the traditions, you can understand the nuts and bolts of it, but some of the hidden meaning, like when Peter in Acts chapter 2 in his message there brings out some of the things from some of the Psalms and talking about things that David said in the Psalms, it's when the Holy Spirit gets involved. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And this is Paul writing as a Jewish rabbi, and he is saying there's basically things he did not understand as a Jewish rabbi until he put his faith in Christ as his Messiah, and the Spirit of God became involved in his life and began instructing him and helping him to learn and to understand the deeper things of the Scripture. So I think we can learn a lot from some of the Jewish writings in terms of some of the details, some of the nuts and bolts, the traditions and all that. But when it comes to the deeper spiritual truths, I think we need to look to the Spirit of God, like Paul writing here said, because as a Jewish rabbi today, who may have a great understanding of the details of the Old Testament, they don't have an understanding of the spiritual details of the Old Testament, because they're unsaved, and the natural man, as the Bible says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So they need the Spirit of God for that help, like Peter and Paul talked about. But you're right. I think we can profit by learning things from some of the Jewish writings, though, today, and some of the details, nuts and bolts, so to speak.
Okay. You think there's any, one last question,
yes.
connected question. You think there's any mistranslations of the Psalms by New Testament authors? Just Psalm 23, some of those. That was what I was run mm-hmm. across from Jewish sources was, in the Hebrew, some of these Psalms, I'm just thinking of Psalm 23 for one,
mm-hmm.
it jumps out at me. And I was looking at the Hebrew translations, and there's some different understandings in that you get from the Hebrew language when you read these Psalms.
Well, and obviously when you read anything in the original language, you're probably going to get closer to the original intent and all that. But see, here's the beauty of God's Word. Because it's given by inspiration of God, and it's also promised to be preserved by God, we know that, for instance, the Hebrew Masoretic text that underlines the text of the Old Testament in the King James Version of the Bible does correspond to much of the Hebrew writings and original Hebrew of the language there, because it's the Hebrew only translated into the English. Now, not every Bible uses the Hebrew Masoretic text. The Catholic Bible, for instance, does not, and the New International Version does not. And so as a consequence, because they're using a different Hebrew text, and also because some of the people involved in some of those Bibles, the Catholic Bible and the NIV and all that, and without getting into all the details right now, many of those Bibles date back to a guy by the name of Origen living in Alexandria, Egypt in the first, second century time frame. And he simply disbelieved in many of the cardinal doctrines that Christianity teaches. And he tried to incorporate Greek mythology into some of the stuff in his scriptures. And he actually changed scriptures, Old and New Testament as well. He eliminated a lot of it. He added to it. He altered it. And so his manuscripts, there's a stream of manuscripts that come from there, which we collectively refer to as the Alexandrian stream or the Alexandrian manuscripts. They come down to us today in the Roman Catholic, like the Douay Rheims, as well as in the Protestant Bibles, such as the New International Version, the English Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version, Today's English Version, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when you look at Bible versions today, it's in the English language, it's the King James alone, really, that uses the Hebrew Masoretic text that the Jewish people used and preserved down through the centuries, and likewise with the New Testament, it's the King James Version today. That's why I use it, because it alone preserves what we call the Antiochian text, or the Textus Receptus. That was the text that comes to us from where Paul was in Antioch, Syria, where they were first called Christians, and they began collecting parts of the Bible there. And so the Hebrew would have been the Masoretic text, and the Greek would have been what became known as the Received text. And so you will see some variations. For instance, the New Testament coming from the Alexandrian text, because it's not the true Word of God. Because it's a corrupted version of the Word of God. There's some books out there that really go into this in detail. There's a guy by the name of Douglas Stauffer who has a tremendous book, One Book Stands Alone, that goes into a lot of this in detail. It's a great book. You can find him online if you just Google One Book Stands Alone. But what happened is, because of the corrupted Alexandrian text quoting from corrupted Hebrew text, you will find in many of your modern English versions of the Bible that some of the quotes referring to, say, the Psalms in the New Testament really don't match up to the original Hebrew. And I think that's where some of that comes from. It's something a lot of people don't realize. I don't know why it's not taught in, well, I have some suspicions as to why it's not taught commonly in Bible schools and seminaries today. There's a lot of money to be made in these new versions as opposed to a version that's not copywritten. But no, there's been a lot of tinkering with the Word of God, and it goes back all the way to the Garden of Eden when the devil said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." One of the very first things he did was attack the Word of God, get people to question the Word of God, get people to doubt the Word of God. You can see that happening with some of these modern versions. But I would think if you stick with the King James Version, for instance, in the Psalms, you're going to get an accurate rendering, preserving the Hebrew in the English language for us today. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, and I imagine you're not either. So, the people who were on the translation committee, many of them could read and write Hebrew at a very early age. You know, in many cases before they were 10 years old, they could read and write Hebrew and read and write Greek. And I remember hearing J. Vernon McGee. Have you ever heard him on the radio?
Yeah.
J. Vernon McGee. He's very interesting to listen to. And I heard him one time. Of course, he's with the Lord now, but his programs are still being broadcast. But he used to have a thing on Saturdays where he would answer questions. People would write in. Somebody wrote him a question, and they said, "What about other versions?" And he said, "Well, I taught Hebrew and Greek in the seminary." And he said, "I don't feel as confident to translate the Bible afresh. I don't feel as confident to do that as the King James translators were," because he always uses the King James. And he said, I don't feel my skills, even though I taught Hebrew and Greek in seminary, I don't feel my skills are up to that of the King James translators. And he said that as far as the new translations go, and I think he was talking specifically about the New International Version and the New American Standard Version, he said, "I know some of the people who are on those translation committees." He said, "They were students of mine." And then he said, he paused and said, "And quite frankly, they weren't that good." So here he is, the professor, the teacher of these people, saying that he didn't feel confident in his own abilities as compared to the King James translators. And then he said about some of the people who thought that they were confident to redo it, he said they weren't that good of a student in those subjects. So you can go with that. But I believe God promised to preserve his word, and in fact he did that in the Psalms. And he said he would preserve it from that generation forever. I believe Psalm, let me turn over here to Psalm chapter 12, he says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." And so that tells us that we're going to have the Word of God preserved, through all generations. And I think we have it in the King James Version in the English language. And since I'm not a Hebrew scholar, I'm going to use, defer to the King James on those passages. But and that's also, talking about some of the Jewish things. It doesn't mean that there aren't Jewish writers in the past, over the centuries, who have also corrupted the words of God, just like there are Gentile writers and people who call themselves Christians who have corrupted the Word of God over the years. The devil attacks the Word of God whenever he can. And so, hope that helps with some of your questions there. Yeah, I appreciate the question there tonight. Thank you so much. And you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we've got Jeremiah hanging on. Jeremiah, thank you for holding.
Yes, I tried that Periscope. I downloaded it on my phone, and I actually found you on broadcast.
Oh, okay.
I typed a message, but I didn't get no response.
So I have to watch the screen. And are you currently on Periscope right now?
No, I'm on the phone with you.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense, I suppose. But somebody's on Periscope right now. I can't. I have to look over there to see what's going on. And what happens is, if I'm not looking at it, I can't see if somebody typed something on there. And so I know on occasion people type things on there, and they have this little thing with hearts that go up, and I'm still learning all this myself. It's all new to me, but you know, we're trying this as a way that we can reach out. And Jeremiah, I want to thank you for trying that. You know, the thing that we're trying to do right now is get our callers somehow. I was talking to somebody this week to see if it's possible that we can get what I hear through my headset here to be heard in the phone here when somebody is watching on Periscope, so that it would be just like listening. You would hear the caller just like you do on the radio. Because see, right now you can hear me and I can hear you, but people who are on Periscope right now, they hear me, but they don't hear you. So as a consequence, we're trying to improve that. And we're also trying to use it for some of our church services and our Friday night Bible study. And it's a good way we can save some of these things. They're saved in Periscope, so people can come back and look at them at a later date as well. So
I have about three minutes left,
so we better move into that.
I have one Bible question. Antichrist is supposed to come in on a white horse.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at a couple of verses in the King James, and I came across Isaiah 14:14.
Mm-hmm.
And also I came across Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 29.
Okay.
And those two verses have something in common.
All right. Ezekiel chapter 20, you said?
Chapter 20, verse 29.
Yeah, in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 29, let's see if I'm looking at the right one here. Ezekiel 20, verse 29, "Then I said unto them, What is the high place whereinto ye go? And the name thereof is called Barna unto this day." Is that the one you're looking at?
Yeah, Bama.
Bama, I'm sorry. Bama. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've heard this too. Some people try to say, well, this is Obama. And in actuality, and I apologize, I don't have time to go into this right now. They try to say that in the Hebrew, it says Obama there. It doesn't. It doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't. People try to put that in there, but it doesn't. There's some good critiques of that available online, where they go into their word for word, and I'm online right now, or online. I've got a Bible program here right now, and I cannot, unfortunately. I'm using a different computer tonight, and I'm trying to see if I can get the one to come up with the Hebrew words right there. But I had looked at it, and yeah, the way that they try to say it says Obama, and so they try to identify President Obama as the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying that President Obama couldn't be the Antichrist. I mean, he could be, but they also said the same thing about President Clinton, and they said the same thing about President Bush, and they said both President Bushes. They said the same thing about President Reagan. I believe they said the same thing about President Carter, President Ford, President Nixon, just about every president I can remember.
He won't be revealed until after we raptured.
Yeah, because the revelation of the Antichrist is, for those who are looking, for those who know, it will be the person that, according to Daniel chapter 9, saw signs or approves a covenant with Israel that brings peace to the region. And I tend to think the Psalm 83 battle might take place before then, which would set the stage for him to come in and to be able to do that. And then a lot of people won't realize that he is the Antichrist. In fact, some people will be fooled thinking maybe it's Christ himself. But it's clear at the midpoint of the tribulation, though, when he goes into the temple and declares himself to be God, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then institutes the mark of the beast and all of those things that take place at the midpoint of the tribulation, it'll be very clear that he's the Antichrist at that point. For anybody that doesn't believe it then. Hey, Jeremiah, we're out of time tonight.
Okay,
appreciate that question. Thanks again. Call back again. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks to our Periscope watchers. And stay tuned. Join us again next week. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.